today I have a few announcements I want to get to, and then we need to get out of the way because the Lord is going to do something today. I feel it. So our announcements are this. Connect with us. You can do that on social media. You can fill out a connection card if you're a visitor online. We also have options for you to go to the back table. We still have shirts left this month. So we have a few visitor shirts. So if you're a new visitor and you fill out a connection card, you get a visitor shirt. So we're thankful for that. And then also we have something going on almost every single night of this week. So here's the rundown. On Mondays and Wednesdays, for you and for everyone who wants to be a part, we have free fitness classes. I don't know if you guys know that or not. That is one of our community groups. It's called Fit Camp. And so that takes place right in back here, and you are more than welcome to come. The only thing you need to bring is water and a mat. That's it.
And a will.
And a will to live. No, we take it easy on you. We're nice. We're not harsh. Malia, don't look. We're nice. We're not harsh. But anyway, so those classes are our free community group for you guys. So you're more than welcome to join us. We have fun. We always have a nice little scripture on there for us to remember when it gets tough. So feel free to join us on Mondays and Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. The other thing we have going on this week is all month long on Thursdays, we're having prayer here at the church. We really feel like this month specifically, God called us to pray and to pray not only just for our nation. Yes, there are things going on in our nation we need to pray about, we need to seek the Lord about, but there are things inside each one of you that the Lord is saying, if you just release it to me, if you just give it to me, I'm telling you. And when we pray about something, what we do is we say, Lord, I'm not in control of this, but you are. And so that posture of us making an effort to come on Thursday nights and pray really just solidifies, we're giving this to you, Lord. Whatever that is in your life, whatever you're believing God for, we want to stand with you. We want to pray with you. And so Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. The other thing we have going on this week is Saturday, Genesis and her ministry called Overcome, they are having their worship night. It's hype night, so it's Eddie James style worship. So if you like hype worship, that's what it is. It's pretty much like youth band. So if you want to relive your youth, you can find out more about that on her website and also on her social media handles as well. Overcome Ministries on Instagram too. So they have information about that. The cool thing is though, the ladies of TCC, you are all invited to 3 p.m. We are going to meet at the Columbia in Ybor, and we're going to have lunch, late lunch, early dinner, and then we're going to head over to worship night. So if you want to join us, you can contact me directly, ask me, give me information about, you know, whatever you need, and I can let you know if we're going to ride together, meet up. So anyway, so that's available. That's another way for you to connect this week. So lots of opportunities for you to connect, lots of opportunities. Your community groups are going on. You can find out more about community groups out there. So many things happening at the community chapel. But in the line of community groups, I wanted to talk about this today as we go into offering. Yesterday we had an event here, and it was for A21. We hosted the Freedom Summit here, and then we did a Freedom 5K after that. And so some of you may know this, some of you may not, but my friend Carter back here, he is a former high school athlete, a cross-country runner, and it has been like goals of mine to just run races with him and keep up with him. He runs, in his prime, he was running about a 5:30 mile, which is super fast, which I'm like about 5 minutes behind him on that. Not really, but seriously, like it was, he's just an amazing runner. He's an amazing kid. I've known him his whole entire life. But yesterday, he kept pace with me, which I thought was pretty sweet of him because, you know, I'm about a 9 minute mile person. And so he stayed with me yesterday. And I said, Cart, I know you're faster than me. You can run up ahead of me. And he said, no, leaders shouldn't run alone. Tore me up inside because I remember being his kids' pastor. And I remember saying things about him when he was a kid, combating lies from the enemy, taking authority over thoughts when he was little. And to see that young man minister to me in that moment, and it might not have felt like he was ministering. I said, Carter, who told you that? Your mom? He goes, no, I just thought of it. I was like, man, I love this kid so much. Because in that moment, what he taught me was this. We all need people. We all do. And we don't need them in the, like Richie was saying, codependent way. We need them in the sense of, man, when I'm going through something, just knowing that someone's there beside me, praying with me, it encourages you and lifts you up in your faith. There is something that happens, the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together. In any circumstance, you could be having dinner and it just lifts your spirit to be around other believers, to be around other people. And so I want to challenge you, church, that if you're not in a community group, if you don't have a group of people that are surrounding you and holding you up and texting you out of the blue, telling you, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I love you. Get in community. Get in community and allow the Lord to break down some of those walls that we build up because we don't want to be rejected, because we're afraid of what that looks like, vulnerability. But when we break those down and we really start being vulnerable, we plant seeds in other people that at 8 years old come back when that child is 20. 20. That's a long time to wait on a harvest, but guess what? It happened at the right time. So don't be afraid of what that looks like to be vulnerable and to be in community. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. I thank you for being here today. I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for your goodness that endures throughout all generations, God. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministering angels to go forth today as we complete the rest of this service. God, I just thank you that you are here. Lord, I just pray that every word that Richie says today, God, is going to be seeds deposited, Father God, that one day we're going to reap a harvest for that seed and we're going to grow fruit from that seed, God. And I just thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 Kings 18, starting in verse 15, it says, but Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty in whose presence I stand that I will present myself to Ahab this very day. Up to this point, it had not rained for 3 years. And God was about to send rain on the earth again. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And when Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so, is it really you, you troubler of Israel? I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. And so we know at this point that there is Baal worship that is taking place in Israel, and God is tired of it. And he said, it's time to tear down this Baal worship, and we're going to have a reckoning, and we're going to find out who really is God. And I appreciate Elijah because Elijah was a bull. Elijah took God seriously and said, we're going to take care of business right now. Because anytime God sends you to do something, he's got some business to take care of. God never speaks aimlessly. He never asks you to do something just to do it. There's always a purpose behind it. In verse 21, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of the altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Verse 24. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. In verse 26, and so they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply from any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah started playing with them. That's not in there, but he said, began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed. for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming, or he's relieving himself. Or maybe he is away on a trip, or is asleep, and needs to be wakened. So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, morning till night, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then in verse 30, then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." And they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." And when they were finished, he said, "Now do it a third time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. And at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command." Verse 37, "O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. God said, "We're going to reverse this thing. The fire is going to consume the water." And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God." Yes, the Lord, he is God. What would you do in a situation like that? Elijah is one against 850. Not 450, because you remember there was also 400 prophets of Asherah. He's just mentioning here, "Hey, let's deal with the prophets of Baal right now." And he said, "Listen, we're going to deal with this, and I'm going to come against you because I know what I have, and I know what you don't have." And so this is a D-Day. It's a D-Day. This is a time of reckoning, a time where something was about to change because God was tired of what was happening with Israel. He had already prophesied a drought was going to be there, and the drought was about to come to an end. And God said, "We have some business because I want to call my people back to me." Because that's what God is in the business of. He's in the business of calling people back to him into restoration. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're worshiping, no matter what argument you're believing in, no matter what relationship you're in right now, God said, "My heart is always to bring you back to me because you're my first love. You're my first love. Israel, I want my relationship with you restored." And God said, "Today is going to be the day." And Elijah just happened to be the prophet that God was going to use to take care of this. And so it was a reckoning moment. And my question to you today is that what is God coming after in your life right now that is causing you to worship something that is not of him and lift something up that is not glorifying him? It has a place in your life, but it does not have the right place in your life. Now, these people were worshiping a false god. They were worshiping Baal, which was common back then. And God said, "Clearly, you should have no other gods before me, because I know what it looks like for you to have other gods before me. You start to worship things. You start to worship the creation rather than creator, and you get out of balance in your emotions, and you start to do things that are uncharacteristic, as cut yourself to the point that you do harm to yourself in order to get a reaction from something that is not even real." We believe things in our life that are false, that are not good for us, and we do harm to ourselves trying to get a reaction or trying to get some sort of pleasure out of something that God said, "I never called you to get pleasure out of something that I created to the point of where you begin to worship it. Pleasure is good. You delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I take pleasure in my relationship with my wife. But at the same time, she is not an idol." And so what happens is that the enemy takes pleasure and he twists it. And it becomes something that people seek. And it becomes a stronghold that they seek shelter in order to escape reality. and they can't deal with reality because they're so bent on pleasure. And pleasure is good for a season, but the one thing about pleasure is you got to keep getting it in order to feel good. And so he said, if you will find pleasure in me, those things in your life you won't have a tendency to go back into. Israel, I'm trying to help you understand. Do you see what you're doing to yourself? Have you ever had that moment with God where God lifted the veil up and said to you, do you see what you're doing to yourself? Do you see how you're cutting yourself? Do you see how you're tearing yourself down? Do you see how you're involved in something that is killing your progress? Do you see that you are looking at stuff that you don't need to look at? Do you see that you are partaking in an act that somebody else said was good for you that is actually killing you on the inside, and the prosperous relationship that I want to have with you, you cannot have because that thing has become an idol? Do you see what that is doing to you? Do you see what being out of my will is actually doing to you? Do you see what turning away from me when I come knocking at your heart is actually doing for you? Do you see what is crowding in your life when I'm not first? Do you see the enemy's plans and designs, how they actually come to pass when you allow him access in the areas of your life that are not supposed to be there? Do you see what it looks like when you don't walk in authority and walk in fear? Do you see what it looks like when you don't walk in power, love, and self-discipline? Do you see what you're doing to yourself, son? Do you see it? And don't think that God doesn't make things plain. We think that God has a way of skirting around the issue because he doesn't want to hurt our feelings. God loves you. He knows you have feelings. But the truth of what he's saying to you far outweighs how you feel about it. So when I say this is what it is, when I show you truth, I need you just to accept that that is truth. Well, that doesn't feel very good. It's still truth. And so I'm going to tell you like it is because I want to help free you from it so that we can be in relationship with one another and not have to continue to dance around things because it's affecting you. And a lot of times we get to that point in our life where God is trying to show us certain things, and we don't see it. It's not until we get in trouble that all of a sudden we call back out to God and say, ho, I need you. Or, like what was happening in this story, Israel said nothing. Nothing. How long will you waver between two opinions? And they said nothing. It wasn't like they were like, you know what? You're right. We probably need to change it. They said nothing. What is killing your voice? You see what needs to be done. You see what needs to happen. But when people, good people, do nothing or say nothing, there's an issue internally going on. There's something going on the inside that you're not dealing with. You have been silenced by something. What are you being silenced by? We're not talking about people who did not know the Lord. They had a relationship with the Lord, but they had grown silent because I believe they knew in their conscience what they were doing was wrong. And they couldn't fess up. What are you doing that is killing your voice? You can't speak out against it because you're entrapped by it. You can't walk free from it because you're enslaved to it. You can't speak truth because you don't know if it's truth or not, even in your own life. I mean, I guess it's all right. Everyone else is doing it. We get that. And we had this idea, you know, sex before marriage is a big thing. Everyone's like, well, do we do it? Do we not? I don't know. God loves us. He knows our heart. And then what we do is we get robbed of God's perfect will and blessing in our life because we don't do it the way he wants us to do it, and we become silent. Do you know what happens that when you begin to compromise or begin to get ensnared by something, your boldness and your confidence meter goes down because you're no longer ruling it. It is ruling you. So you can't in confidence speak out on what God is doing because you're in it. It's hard for you to find balance sometimes because what happens with us is that we get ensnared by so many things. We don't feel like we can speak against it. And you know in your mind right now what I'm saying. You know, you have said to yourself, you know, I really feel I can speak out against that right now. But you know what? I have to look at my own life. I'm doing the same thing. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. But you know the things that God is flicking at. Hey, I want you to walk free. Hey, I want you to walk confidence, knowing that I love you and that you're valued. Hey, I love you. I have a plan and purpose for your life. Hey, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. Hey, I want to be with you. I want to be your God. Hey, we want that, but then, hey, but that's in the way. I know, but I like it. Hey, let's put that down. Let's look at me. I know, but my emotions are too important to me. And we fall in love with our emotions rather than God. Well, when the scripture says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It doesn't say they that are led by their emotions are the children of God. And our emotions supersede what the Spirit of God is trying to do. And we can't walk in power because we're so in love with feeling. I got to feel it before I do it. You're not going to do it. After yesterday, we ran a 5K, okay? We don't feel like doing it. I'm going to run a 5K today. I don't feel like doing it. If I would have said that, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have felt good about what I did. I wouldn't be able to enjoy lunch in the community that I was with because I would have bowed out because my feelings got in the way. But I did something and overrode my feelings. And I did it anyway. That's a very small example. I did it anyway. And guess what? The reward was great because I said and I saw myself do one of the best times I ever did, had a great lunch with some good people, and went home and said, it was a good day today. Why was it a good day? Because I didn't get sucked into what I felt like doing. I did it because I knew it was good for me to do. We do the opposite of what we feel like doing. That's how it works. So I do it by faith, and guess what? Feeling comes in. I don't do it by feeling, and then faith comes in. Because feeling would have slipped me right back into the chair and say, I'm just going to pack it in today. I can't pack it in. I can't. There's too much on the line. There's too much that we talk and communicate about that God holds me accountable for that I have to do. And I do it because it's beneficial to me. And it's good for me to do it. And so when I do it, the feeling comes in. And I master it. I master it. So he remains first, and then everything else comes into place. It doesn't master me. So if something is mastering you right now, you got to flip the script and say, oh, okay, hold up. We've got this backwards. We got it backwards. What do I need to do to start mastering that thing? You have to do it. Because anything that you allow to come in and get control of you, has control over you, including your feelings. In team rally today, we talked about forgiveness a little bit, okay? So let's go along that line. I'm trying to help you just see some things today. So even in forgiveness, I don't feel like forgiving them. You'll never be free. I don't have to feel like forgiving them. All I know is that by faith, I release that person for the stuff that they did or they did not do. By faith, I do that and give it to you, Lord, because I want to be free to run where I need to go, speak freely, be myself because I'm walking in forgiveness. And I do it by faith because I don't want to be crippled by bitterness and agony in my life just because somebody else did something to me. I probably did something to somebody too. But the forgiveness aspect is key. I got to do that. How many times? At least 490. That's what Jesus told Peter. What? 70 times 7? He said, just walk in it. And when it rises back up, just give it back to me. Because of the way I forgive you, I want you to reach out and forgive other people. And once that happens, guess what I do? I place God where he needs to be because I realize, hold up, without him, I'm nothing. I need that flow in my life. If I don't have it, everything else doesn't work. And you know what that looks like for you. When things are out of balance and they don't work right, it's because the number one most important thing is not where it needs to be. Sometimes when we're doing work around the church and things are happening and we don't know what's going on, sometimes we overcomplicate things and we're like, whoa, is that, what's going on there? Where's the wire? And somebody will say, well, did you plug it in? Sometimes it's the plug that's out. Because you get so wrapped up in your head that it's got it's so complicated. And sometimes it is. But other times it's the basics. Well, if it's not plugged in, nothing's going to work. Okay? If you're not plugged in your relationship with God, nothing else is going to work. You can try to fill it. You can try to plug it with other stuff, but you're going to get a bunch of holes. You're going to be leaking out everywhere. That's got to be number one. And so the second thing about this story is, what do you say? What do you say? So when arguments come in, and when you are presented with a problem or presented with something that requires your attention, what do you say? When the enemy comes in and brings accusation, what is your response? You know he ain't going to do it for you, Malia. I have a response that I am required by the Lord to say, and that's either going to be, no, he is going to do it because he said I can do it. I have a responsibility to speak truth, and that truth is going to set me free, or I can fall into the lie. You got one or two choices. You got one or two choices. And oftentimes, the Lord will present you with that choice. Well, he promised me something, but it's not happening, and it's hard, and it's difficult. And so immediately, what we do when things are not happening the way they're supposed to happen is we begin, A, to doubt what God had said, and then, two, we get into a argument match with the enemy that whether or not what God said was true, and the enemy comes in, see, I told you it's because of, and if you don't refute that argument, you will walk totally backwards into what God has already done and lose the progression that you made. Some of you have made some great strides in your mind, but if you're not careful, you can go right back. And so that fight is constant for you to stay this way. So what accusation is being brought up to you right now that you are having to refute? Are you dancing back and forth? Is God going to do it? Is he not going to do it? And because of that, you can't say anything because you're too tied up. You know truth, but you're not walking in truth. And so it's hard for you to actually do something because you're caught. Ever been caught? Tough place. Tough place. You're caught between what is and what should be. And you stuck. I can't get there. You're just caught. And you know you're caught. And the Lord allows you to get there because he says, we got to do some stuff so I can free you from this so you stop getting caught. And you know what the caught for you looks like. You know what the caught is. And it's usually a web that's spun for you. And it has to do with, I'm going to spin this web and some sort of pervasive lie that you believed most of your life. Most of your life. And instead of getting yourself out of that web, what we do is we end up getting caught in it and just staying in it. And Lord, by his grace, comes in, helps us get free from it, but brings it back around again because he says, hey, why this is coming up is because I'm trying to help you deal with this. Because this is something that is generational. It is something that in your family that has got to be broken off of you. Because if it's not broken off of you, you will continue to walk in despair, discouragement, and never walk into the fullness that I have for you. Never. Because this thing has got you by the choke, by the throat, and you're choking. What is it? It's a web that keeps coming around. It's that voice that keeps coming around, the lie that keeps coming around. Last week we talked about the root that God was trying to dig up, and it's all part of that. It keeps coming back around because every time it comes back around, what's God doing? Doing this so it can finally break until one day you're going to have to make a decision and say, that's it, it's done. Lord, whatever you have to do to break it off, break it off. Pull the root out because I can't deal with that anxiety anymore in my life. I can't deal with it. I'm walking in deception where I know I should be free. I'm there, but I feel like I'm not there. There's something running in the background, but I don't feel like I'm totally free. God, help me to do that. And it's that web. God's like, I'm just digging it up. I'm digging it up so that eventually it'll come out. It's going to come out eventually. the pressure of life is going to bring it out. Because you're going to be caught between, I know God has big things, but this little thing, this thing is killing me. It's holding me. It's taking me where I don't need to take. And God says, we got to get rid of that so that the draw of the big outweighs what's happening here. I've called you out of that. I've called you to this. This was so little. It was a small portion of what I had for you in your life. I don't care who did it. I don't know what happened. God says, I know what happened, but I know. I'm just trying to help you see that I'm sufficient to help you deal with it, walk in forgiveness, and heal you from it. But if you don't allow me to expose it, bring it up, pull the root out, we're never going to get anywhere. Never. I'm not willing to go back and deal with that. You will stay infantile. You will stay crippled, and you will hobble back and forth between two opinions. I know God is God, but I'm so stuck in what happened. I know God wants this for me, but I can't get rid of it. Is it worth missing the goodness in what God has for you from that little portion? And we look at it, it's little compared to what God has, but you don't know how big it was. It might have been for you. It might have been something that took you out, but guess what? You're still here. But that's why a relationship with Christ is so important, because he breaks down the stuff that does not need to be there. Well, that's not, I don't know if I could deal with that. Well, then you're not ready to move into all that God has for you, because before you go into the promised land, Egypt has to be done away with. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. That's what we should be walking in. I'm not a slave to fear no more. So that when something comes back up in my life, it's a shadow, it's something that the enemy is trying, I got to recognize that, tear it down, and move on. You would think that most people, or a lot of people, especially when they call themselves Christians, walking with the Lord for the amount of time they've walked with him, that they would be over some things. Over some things. And you could probably attest to this, on how many people still walk in what they were. And not realizing that when Christ looks at you, he looks at you and says, yeah, you're accepted and loved in me. They're the righteousness of God in me. I know what I saved them from. I know what I did for them. I know, but still, they still walk in like they're blind. And it's not the fact that God blinds you. There are certain things that in our life, we do walk blind by faith sometimes. We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not talking about that. But we walk blind to our own ambition sometimes. We are blinded by what happened, hurt, stuff that doesn't make sense. Stuff that we probably should have got over about 15, 20 years ago. And we're still dealing with it right now. How many of you, don't raise your hand because it'd be telling. Stuff comes up and you start to dwell on things that happened when you were younger. And you know it's not who you are anymore. You know. But the enemy tries in that state, in your weak state. It's not in the strong state at times. It's in that weak state where he says, you know, you'll always be that kid. And if you're not careful, you will put yourself back into a place that God already freed you from. Already freed you from. I'm telling you what, the more I walk the Lord, the quicker things just begin to happen. Where I just begin to recognize stuff and say, nah, that's a lie. Nah, I was over years ago. That's a lie. So, because what happens is that the Holy Spirit begins to show me how far I've come so that there's no desire to go back to what was. Why would I want to go back to slavery? Why would I want to go back to that? So, yeah, okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. It's cool. I got to move on. And so anytime that stuff comes up, it's little. It shows his hand. He plays his hand. He's so scheming. He's so infantile in the way he does things. But he knows, and I think the Lord allows him to do that stuff so that we can see how much we've grown. You've grown now. Because you know when you got saved, you got everything, right? Some people say, I got to grow into it. Yeah, we are growing in our faith. But you have the fullness of Christ. inside of you right now. Jesus does not have to grow anymore. He's already grown. So I don't care if Sharon got saved yesterday compared to me getting saved 10 years ago. Guess what? The same Jesus that's in Sharon is in me. Okay? And so what's happening right now is that there is a retraining, a retooling, so that you see, you're supposed to see yourself as God sees you. Your identity has changed, and you're starting to learn what it means to rule and reign over your emotions, over things that happen. You're starting to rule and reign. And Jesus is just showing you, hey, I already have victory over that. It's already under my feet. I'm just trying to help you see that you already have victory over that because of who I am. I just want to help you deal with that. I'm just trying to get your emotions to line up to what I already know. I already know it. I just need you to line up to it. Well, we got to confront some stuff. When you ask God for forgiveness, guess what he does? He forgives you. There's one person that's like, I don't know what I should say now. Should I say he did or not? Is it a trick question? Okay. He forgives you. If I confess my sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Stop praying for forgiveness for something over and over again if you know that God has already forgiven you for it. It's not God's problem when it comes to forgiveness. Oftentimes, God says, I've forgiven you. Will you just forgive yourself and move on? It's different when you are walking in a course of disobedience and you are doing something blatant, Israel, that is going against God's will, and just say, well, I'll just get up and I'll just ask for forgiveness. When your heart's desire is not to get better. I'm just doing it because it feels good, and God will forgive me because he loves me. Don't mistake the penalty for sin or the consequence. A lot of times we think, well, I'm not going to pay for this. You will. You will. Israel is at a reckoning point. I'm talking a reckoning point here. God said, we're going to deal with this today. All of a sudden, they turn around, oh, you God, you God. What's it going to take for you to recognize, oh, he's God. He's God. Do we have to get to this point? Because read further down in the story wasn't over. Elijah then took the 450 prophets of Baal and killed them down in the valley. He said, we're going to kill them. We're going to eradicate this problem. He was so bold. Oh, that's in there. That's in there. The Bible's so interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's in there. Like he went down and killed him in the valley. Allah, he just said, I'm going to get it. We're going to get it done because you got to be, listen, either you kill or you be killed. He said, this has gone on long enough. We're going to tear down some of these idols and we're going to get rid of them physically. They ain't going to be here no more. When God comes in, he says, we're going to take care of some stuff. I don't want you to have to deal with that the rest of your life. No, I don't want you to have to deal with that the rest of your life. You're looking over your shoulder. I don't want you to have to deal with that anymore. I want you to be free from it so that you can walk, know that you're loved, accepted, and that you can be yourself in me and that we can have a relationship together. I don't want you to have to deal with that. Why do you think he kept coming back and bothering Israel through the Old Testament? Come on, guys. I got something better for you. I've got a relationship for you. It's going to be great. Oh, I got to get him again. The whole process, right? Come on. I got something good for you. I got something great for you. You're right. You are the Lord. We love you. You're the Lord. Okay. Back into this. Got to go get him again. All right, guys, I got something good for you. This time you're going into captivity, but remember, I love you. I'm coming back to get you. Okay. You're the Lord. We love you. Okay. Got it. All right. This time, that's it. Go to Mount Carmel. Elijah, go down there, take care of some business, because I want my people back. This time, we're going to kill all of them. God's serious about that stuff. Do you know to what lengths God will go to get your attention and to show you that he loves you? Man, yesterday we were watching, we were 821, and we were watching that video, and it tugged on my heart, and it fired me up so much, because in my mind, there is no measure that I would not go to or through to get my girls. No measure. I don't care what it costs. No measure. And I got a picture in my mind of God's heart for me
no measure that he would not go through to get my attention again. And he did. Left heaven, left his home, spread out his hands, spread out his feet, died a physical death, no measure, and said, I'll be naked on a cross. I'll bleed, whatever I have to do to reconcile you back to me, because that's how much I love you. And that causes you to change. We're not talking about a cross. The cross wasn't a soft experience. We're talking about a man who had the power to call down angels and take care of this thing. But he said, no, I'm going to open myself up to the beating, the scourging for you because it is necessary. And you know, as he was bleeding, suffering, crying in pain, we think that, oh, we see the pictures. I don't see the tears in his eyes. He wasn't really suffering. He was suffering. Suffering for you. Thinking about you. And so now, when he comes to us and says, hey, I want to talk to you, there should be an openness that says, yes, because of what you did for me, let's talk. Let's talk. No measure. And look at your life. Look back over your life. No measure that God hasn't gone through to get your attention now. Oh, my, now. Back over your life now. I think he's coming after you. I don't care where my kids are. If something happened or something took place, I'm gone. I'm there. Immediately, something happened. I'm out because that's my heart for my kids. It's the same way with God. Remember in the garden, we said this before, they sinned. Adam! He's not passive. He's not passive aggressive. He knows he's coming after you. He is coming after you because he wants restoration. That's how much, and it's hard to express it. But he wants that a relationship with you, even though there's sin. Consequences, yes, but still a relationship. How long will you wobble between two opinions, he said. Come on, Lord. And when you get a glimpse of God's goodness, doesn't it make you want to draw closer? And say, yes, I'll take it. Yes, I can endure it. If nothing else, look back at what he endured. And you say, I can take it. I'll take it. Isn't that what the scripture talks about in the New Testament? Not many of you have resisted unto bloodshed. Not many of you are talking about this. But you can run this race with endurance. You can run it. You can throw off stuff in your life that's hindering, besetting you. You can run it. He's trying to encourage him. Say, you got this. You haven't died yet. You haven't died yet. Well, we don't talk about that a lot because it's like one day it could come to that, right? It could come to that. So if I am not aligned in my relationship with Christ, then what I value and what I worth here takes the place of where the real value and worth is. And so if I'm ever called to do something hard, I can't do it because that or this has taken the place of the real gift. So you need to be in a position of where you're learning what that looks like to lay down your life and cross over into, well, maybe he's not, but he is, so that when hard things do come, you can take it because it's worth it. See, if it's not worth it to you, you won't do anything about it. It's worth it to me to be there for my kids when they need me, right? Because of the value that they have in my life. So in God's perspective, it said, where is your worth when it comes to a relationship with me? If I'm asking you to do something and I want you to go with me, are you willing to do that? Or is what you're in right now more important than what I'm calling you to do? What happens is, especially in this Christianity in America today, is that taking up your cross and following Christ is unpopular. It's unpopular. Because it doesn't feel good. It means that we have to walk down through some valleys and through some corridors that we don't want to go down through because it's hard, difficult. And God said, and he's saying, when did I ever say that that wasn't going to be part of the process? When did I ever say that? But we have this pervasive spirit that's, I think, infiltrated Christianity that said, man, God wants to, he wants to bless you, and he does. He does. But oftentimes that comes through taking up my cross and following him. So if I can't identify with what Christ went through, I'll never identify with how it feels to resurrect, right? So I'm identifying with the sufferings, but at the same time, I'm also glorying in the resurrection. So you've signed up for that. You now identify. So what is your gender? I'm Christian. That's your identity. That's who you are. Okay. That's your identity right now. So add that to the list. Male, female, and then, you know, now they have a list where it's like, oh, let's add that, Christian. Okay. That's your identity because you don't live anymore, right? The life you live now, you live by the faith you have in the Son of God. So when Jesus looks at you and God the Father looks at you, you don't see. He says, oh, I see Jesus. He looks good. He looks good. That's what gives him the ability to actually work with you. Because if Jesus wasn't there, you're an enemy. If you are not, if you're not walking with Christ, you are an enemy. So what he's trying to do is that he's trying to bring back his kids, those that are far off, those that aren't saved yet, those that he knows that are going to come to the kingdom so that they can actually come into a relationship with him, right? So many of you were far off, but you were brought near by the blood of Christ, no longer enemies. Now you have peace with God because of Jesus Christ, right? You didn't have peace before. Now you have it. Why? Because that one mediator between God and man has taken that place. Now you know what it feels like to be part of the family. You're not an outsider anymore. So even though you're in the family, how long will you waver between two opinions? And God goes to great lengths. Come on, man. Come on up. He goes to great lengths to get our attention and say, you don't have to waver back and forth anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. We can stay here. Make the crossover. You already did. You died to yourself, okay? We don't have to do what Israel did. There's a new spirit that's, I believe what God is doing now in the church is finally getting people to see their right standing with him and that no longer do they have to walk according to the pattern of the world anymore, but they can walk according to their new nature in Christ and what that actually looks like. Okay, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm justified, okay? I'm justified. If I sin, awesome. I have an advocate, I can ask for forgiveness. I probably am going to sin, right? But I have an advocate. I'm not doing it on purpose, I'm just living. I have an advocate now who I'm in relationship with, and now I can be free to be myself in him. But I don't take that for granted because of what he did for me, right? Because I know that any moment that, guess what, my life could be gone. I'm here by the mercy and grace of God. He loves me. He has a plan for me. But I know that he is almighty, that he is sovereign, that he causes everything to work together. And if he decides he wants to change some stuff up, guess what? Does he have the right to change it? He has the right to change it. Why? He paid for it. Well, let's go deeper. He created it before he paid for it. What is he doing right now to try to gain more access to you? What's he doing? Well, he has my heart. Now, I'm talking about the rooms of your heart. That stuff that's tucked this way, you know, to the left. And, like, he's got a really looking. He knows what's behind the block that's causing the blood not to flow where it needs to flow. See, what we do is that we thank God for forgiving us for our sins and giving us salvation, right? Thank God. But he said, hey, listen, I want the blood to flow into that hurt, into that wound. And I want, see, in that rejection, I want to get the blood to flow there. If you allow the blood to get through all that, you'll begin to really understand what freedom is, and walk in joy and peace. But you still, it's that one right there. It's still, you're still like, you're blocking me. And you know the block. He comes in and like, oh, no, wait. Don't hit me there. That's that one's soft still. And it's raw and it festers. And if God can't bring healing to it, all it does is if a wound is not taken care of and it festers and becomes infected, it starts infecting other parts of the body. And so it's the same way in your heart. That's why God goes to deal with the root of rejection, because that root affects every root. That one. I can't be free because of, oh, I can't be free because of that. I can't be vulnerable. They won't like me. And then all of a sudden, I can't walk free, and then I become paralyzed. And it's like, uh-oh. And God says, we're digging that one up, because, listen, you're walking in bondage. I'm tired of you walking that way. You're not walking in freedom. There is no authority in your life. You have no power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, but it's not doing nothing to you right now, because you got it buried. And every time I try to quicken it, that root starts to come up, and you push it down. I'm trying to move through you, but you keep holding it down because you're afraid. You're afraid. Hello, you're afraid. I'm trying to get you. There's no fear in love. I love you. That's why I'm doing it, because I want you to accept me, my pure motive for you, my unconditional love for you. I'm just trying to get you to see me. I love you. You're blocking me. This ain't Facebook. I already see you. Hey. Accept my friend request. Accept it. Because I'm the only friend you got. Because I'm the only one who's going to love you in that state. I'm the only one. If I would have let other people see what I see, just know, just in that, yes, Lord, I love you. Just allow me to get in anyway. I see it. Just let me get in. Yes, Lord, it's going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt, but I love you. And you know what? It's good for you. I know we're going long today, but this is good. Because the issue is not with God. The issue is with our ability to receive the unconditional love of God because of what's rooted. So I'm going to pull it up, but I want you to also at the same time know I'm giving you a new foundation so that you can know that as you're rooted and grounded in love, you'll start to grow. You can't grow in bitterness. How are you going to grow that way? You're ticking everybody else off. You're bitter. You can't grow that way. How are you going to grow in anger? It's okay to be angry. Nobody's saying that, but you can't. Can't stay that way. How are you gonna? You can't grow in me. If I'm in there, that stuff's gotta come out. Lord, that's gonna be hard. It's barbaric. It is, and I'm gonna be the first one to tell you, it is not easy when he gets in there and starts digging stuff up, because he knows what's down there, stuff that you don't even know that's in there. The stuff that you've been caught up in, that you got caught in, that you had no idea. You just were in the crossfires. And sometimes that's just the environment you grew up in. You didn't choose it. You just got in it. And all that stuff has to be reworked, rewired, reprioritized, and so you can actually walk aligned with God. Isn't it a blessing to be able to walk straight? Walk, or like, come on. Isn't it a blessing to be able to have a North Star, a compass, of where you can go, rather than have to always feel like, man, I'm just struggling, I'm just trying to make it through. But know that, hey, I feel like I'm going from strength to strength. Stuff in my life is getting strengthened. I feel good about it. Why? Because he is in there strengthening you. You're healing. You're healing. You're becoming stronger. Isn't it? Oh, it's so much better to feel stronger. Come on, church. It's so much better. But we don't want to feel weak first. I don't want to feel weak. But when I'm weak, He's made strong. That's how it works. You give it to me in weakness, all of a sudden my strength becomes perfect in weakness, and guess what? You're walking better. You're talking better. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving inside of you now. You're speaking with authority and clarity because your mind is healing. You're right. You're in a better frame of mind. Your appetite has been satisfied by me. So nothing that is not supposed to get in gets in. It don't mean it doesn't try. Stuff gets in. Just living stuff gets in. What I'm saying, it doesn't get in like it used to get in because those doors are shut. He's sewed up that stuff. Holes are plugged. Come on. Let's stand up to our feet. Come on. Yeah, come on. Just think about it. Rejoice, whatever you got to do. But just think about God and his goodness. You're not suffering from the same illness you did years ago. Come on, you're not suffering from that anymore. You're not worried about who's there, who's not. You're grateful. You're walking in an attitude. Life is good. Well, it's hard. No, life is good. Change the perspective. It's just good. Life is good. It's hard, but it's good. Because it's producing something in you. That's the way I do it, God said. I do it that way. I get in with you. I produce some stuff that's good. Make the crossover, man. Don't look at it as something that's hard and difficult you can't get through. Change your perspective. Stop hobbling back and forth every time something gets difficult. I do love you. Yes, I do. What else has to die in your life that's causing you to not to think that way? For Israel, God showed up in a miraculous way, but the things they were worshiping had to die. Father, thank you so much for your heart for us, for the life that you designed to give us and you died to give us. Thank you so much that you haven't stopped pursuing us, that you love us. You continue to come after us in spite of our greatest attempts to block you. Thank you so much for infiltrating areas of our life, bringing healing. Those today, God, even who are dealing with unforgiveness today. Let me just between you and the Lord, you can look up at me. I just want you to be honest. Even as we were talking today, you just felt like God was speaking to you about some things. Hey, there's some roots, there's a root in there that I'm trying to get to. And you'll make eye contact with me and say, hey, and let's just pray that God begins to help me deal with this. And you just felt like, I see it. There's some roots. Maybe some unforgiveness. God said, I got to deal with it. I got to. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not like, hey, take a pill and all of a sudden it's done the next day. It doesn't work that way. God said, you might have to walk this thing out a little bit. I have to walk it out. Because that's going to be the thing that's going to hold you back from the problem. If you don't let that go, if you don't continue to give it to me, it's going to poison you. It'll poison you. Thank you so much for those that have said, yeah, it's me. Lord, today, I thank you that you're in their life working right now by your Spirit, helping to release to you what the enemy has tried to do, circumstances that have caused them to go sour. Lord, to stop trusting those that didn't show up. I thank you, God, that you're going to heal abandonment. Heal it. That people are not going to have to worry whether or not you're going to show up. You're going to show up. You're going to show up. God, for those that who you placed in their life that as confidants, I pray that you would use them as healing agents to help them know that you're still good, that there are still good people in the world. There are still good Christians in the world, people who do love you and who have their best interests in mind. Thank you, God, for the ability, Lord, to trust you again. Lord, even to get around community that's going to help spur one another on. Lord, just so that we can have a body, a church, Lord, Christianity as a whole, that are walking in the power that you designed your sons and daughters to walk in so that we don't have to continue to revert back to ways that you've already delivered us from, that we don't have to walk in slavery anymore, that we can walk in love because we know that perfect love casts out fear. And I pray that as you continue to pursue us, and as you continue to dig up the hardness of heart and that stuff around us, that we would embrace the pressure. And as we embrace it, God, that things would begin to break, roots would begin to come out, and that we'd feel free, healing would flow, that the blood would hit the areas of our life that we've hidden, that those things that are in the darkness will come out so that we can be free. I thank you that the light is going to penetrate into areas that are hard to reach, that it's going to get down in there, and that we're going to see freedom like we've never seen before, joy like we've never seen before, that we're not going to walk in hardness or just being ailed by something that you've never called us, God, to walk in. But God, because of life, it just happens. And I pray that you would help us have a perspective that life is good. It's good. And that if you've resurrected from the dead, that you can give life to our mortal body. And I pray as we leave here today, we're going to start to feel your life flow back in again. Just flow back into our emotions. Flow back into our physical body so that we can see you for who you really are. That you are a God who's actually for us. You're not against us. Lord, that you love us. That you have a plan for our life. That it's a good plan. And that you're a good father who desires to give good gifts. I pray that people would see you as a good father who wants to give gifts to their kids, God. And I pray that we would see you as that. Walk in that confidence to know that nothing that the enemy tries to do will work, because we're your kids and that we can walk in you. And I thank you, God, that as we continue to deny him access, that we will walk in the fullness that you've called us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Yes.